You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. It is Friday morning. It is August 22nd, 7:06 the time. Nice to have you here up north on another pleasant, a little cooler than we're used to, August day, heading into this weekend before Labor Day weekend. Parker Olson is producing down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. And coming up, our Week in Review panel with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. Mark will talk about his latest newsletter entitled Heroes of the Resistance. That's all coming up. And then 1 hour from now, stick around for our interview with Dr. Jill McMullen. She's a physician in Toma. She was recently featured by Pete Buttigieg, the former transportation secretary and presidential candidate, as part of a video series talking about the devastating cuts to Medicaid and what that's going to do to rural health care around Wisconsin. That's coming up an hour from now, right after Brittany Merlot's 8:08 forecast. But now it's time for Brittany Merlot's 7:07 forecast. And so she joins us now. Brittany, what's the big plan for this weekend?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'm definitely going north. But
okay.
I don't know. I can't decide if I'm going to go east or west. I've got two big plans, and they're both awesome, and I don't know what to do.
So. If I could cue up a Bob Seger record right now, I would cue up the last verse of Roll Me Away. The line goes, stood alone on a mountaintop, staring out at the Great Divide. I could go east. I could go west. It was all up for me to decide. Just then I saw a young hawk flying, and my soul began to rise. And pretty soon my heart was singing, roll me away. I'm going to roll me away tonight. We got to get you up because there's a continental divide, you know, up there, up north of you. And you're just going to stay there until some hawk tells you you're going east or you're going west.
I like
And then you're going to report back on Monday about what a stupid idea that was, Pat, because that hawk took you someplace you didn't want to be. Anyway.
The hawk went south. I'm like, wait, hold on.
Wait, I don't want to go that way.
That wasn't an option.
So the cooler weather has arrived, not for good, but definitely a little relief from a summer of smoke and sticky conditions.
Ooh, it is kind of nice. You know, blue skies are expected throughout this weekend. No wildfire smoke out there. Just a few chances of some rain today, and it's really staying far, far north in the state. So pretty much if you're north of 29, you're probably going to see chances for rain today. Maybe tomorrow and possibly into Sunday too, because these winds are going to be whipping and they're going to be pulling in this fall-like air mass with a vengeance. So that could spark some spotty showers and light drizzle off of Lake Superior. And some of those can make their way far south in the state too, because this system is so big and those winds are going to be whipping. Probably by today, the northern half of the state is going to see some gusts around 20. By tomorrow, everyone's going to see wind gusts around 20 to maybe 30 miles per hour, and that's going to stay this way this weekend. So crisp, cool, dry winds bringing in an air mass that is going to be much different. So today, upper 70s, our last little summery vibe before the cold front sweeps through, takes over the entire state. And for tomorrow, highs will be in the mid-60s far north to mid-70s far south. And then on Sunday, we're looking at upper 50s to mid 60s. But like I said, we still have to get this cold front through the state. So we are looking at some light drizzle right now far north. The cold front will move through this afternoon, and it is going to spark chances for some storms northwest and right along Lake Superior, too, into those far northern counties. You could see some heavier rain rates up to an inch and a half of rain is possible. Gusty winds and some hail, too. This whole system will kick on out of here by midnight. Maybe some sprinkles far south in the morning, like I said, down south. And then we're going to start to just see that cooler air take over and maybe some lake effect showers.
Okay, but that's not lake effect snow. So we got that going for us, right?
No, not yet.
I mean, I'll take what I can get here. Let's see. In the mailbag today. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a big weekend in Tigerton. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy, 58 degrees yesterday. 4 yards to mow in Tigerton. Then did some cleanup to get ready for Tigerton Lumberjack Days. Mm-hmm. That begins tonight, runs through Sunday. The parade is Sunday with many fun activities. Said he got a haircut yesterday from his friend Anita because I mow her lawn and they have that sticky stuff that they put in his hair. Hair gel, I believe. And he again says it's got a fall feel out there. Please be sure to check out Tigerton Lumberjack Days, Brittany. And he suggests Duluth. He was there 3 years ago after his parents passed away to get away and relax, and said Brittany will really love it there as well. But frankly, you got two good options there.
Now you're not gonna... Lumberjack Days. I'm a lumberjill. So, I mean, bring it. I'm ready to go do those competitions. I've done one before.
Really?
Hey.
Right, second place at what?
It was a lumberjack competition. So we had to, you know, saw the wood, run the wood around. We had to axe throw. I can't remember. There's a few other things in there too, but all those things, the things, you know,
the things that make me thankful that we have this distance workplace and we're in three different cities here on your screen. Cause you know, I no longer have to fear that if I say the wrong thing, Brittany will come over from the next room and, you know, throttle me. She's a lumberjill. You don't dare cross her that way. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, you can sign up for our Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and subscribe there. Today, there is a story in there that we talked about last hour. The Walworth County Court Commissioner, who had to resign for having the audacity to demand due process and actually see an ICE arrest warrant. That story is in there. Also, a story about shipwrecks. You know how many known shipwrecks there are in the Great Lakes around Wisconsin? I'll tell you in a little bit here, but there are some stories behind some of them that are worth learning about. And in the newsletter, there's a little detail on that. And it all comes from a maritime archaeologist with the Wisconsin Historical Society. So that and much more in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. And again, coming up in a little bit, we're going to have our Week in Review panel, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We'll have Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze as well to help us review some of the day's big events, some of the week's big events. And some of them I find especially troubling that we're going to get into. For example, there's a story out of Fulton County, Georgia, where known election deniers are being appointed to the county board of elections, but first they have to be voted on by the commissioners, and a couple of Democratic commissioners said no, we're voting no on this. These are people who have taken action to steal the elections in Georgia, and a judge has ordered them to approve putting these election deniers on the board. They're refusing. And so now Republicans are calling on these Democratic commissioners to be jailed for standing up to the principle of not appointing election deniers to an election board. That's where we're at now in this day and age. We talked, like I said before, about the Walworth County Commissioner insisting on due process. There's a story in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by John Dietrich, Mary Spacuzza, and Dan Bice about what Judge Hannah Dugan told police 3 days before her arrest by federal agents. You know, before she was arrested on charges of helping somebody, an undocumented immigrant, to evade authorities. And she said she did not know that he was here illegally and did not give him any kind of special treatment, and explained, you know, how she has used the other exit from that courtroom in the past when circumstances warrant it. But, you know, like she said, most importantly of all is not knowing, you know, that he is an undocumented immigrant, because she's not supposed to know that in a particular criminal case. He was there on a completely different matter. And when you're before the court, your immigration status is, you know, secondary to the matter that's at hand, the crime for which you're being accused. I know that some people have said, oh, well, you're just letting people off who commit crimes and, you know, beat their girlfriends and wives and things like that. No, you're missing the point. All of those crimes continue to be investigated. It's actually a bigger deal if a crime isn't investigated because we're looking to send somebody back. That's the kind of thing that's happening in Dane County, for example, where there's somebody that is facing charges related to a drunk driving death, if memory serves correctly. And federal officials are trying to deport this person because they're an undocumented immigrant. They should be in prison. They should be in prison. And people say, well, then American taxpayers have to pay for it. That's what we do. We put people in prison for justice when they commit crimes that harm people. We don't just give them an airplane ticket, you know, and or put them on a bus and say, well, head back to your home country and, you know, good luck to you. And yet that's the kind of thing that the Trump administration wants to do that is actually antithetical to American notions of justice and consequences for things like breaking the law. So don't bring criminal activity into the immigration matter. The immigration matter is about this use of federal resources, not to go after known criminals, but to go after the person who's working in housekeeping in a hotel, the person who's working in a kitchen at a restaurant, the person who is trying to raise their kids and send them to a safe school here in the United States where they're going to get an education, rather than the crime-infested, war-torn areas that they escaped. Do they still have a process to go through to become citizens? Yeah. Should there be a process where they get in line and have to prove that they're worthy of citizenship? Yeah. You know what? We almost had that. We almost had that about a year ago. We had a bipartisan agreement that would set these things up so that these hardworking people living in our country could find a path to citizenship and stay here because they're good people. They're hard workers. They're exactly what your great-great-grandparents were. And they want to live the American dream. And they're being profiled and they're being targeted for who they are, not for what they've done. Because what they've done is usually follow the law better than a lot of the folks say that, I don't know, stormed the U.S. Capitol and threatened to kill a vice president and members of Congress. So those folks are not really in a position to lecture about law and order. We need a better process. We don't need these things happening in our courtrooms where court commissioners are getting fired, where judges are getting put in handcuffs and shackles and charged to put forward a policy that is anti-American, quite frankly. And the better path to do it was scuttled last year by the guy who's now causing all of this chaos in our court systems and in our politics and, frankly, in our country. And there are a whole lot of people saying, I voted for Trump, but I didn't think he was going to do this. I didn't think he was going to slash the budget in ways that were going to hurt me because I didn't do anything to deserve to be hurt this way. I didn't think he was going to go after non-criminals. He was supposed to go after the criminals. He was supposed to end the war in Ukraine on day one. He was supposed to fix all of our bad trade deals on day one. He's done none of those things. And I think more people realize that all the time. By the way, the number I was looking for from our Up North News daily newsletter, 700. Some 700 known shipwrecks on the Great Lakes that can be explored from Wisconsin. And you can read about some of them in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. A local update's coming up next, then our Week in Review panel. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Where, oh, where are my manners? I've been at this for, 23 minutes now into the 7 o'clock hour and have not given you the keyword yet for Free Ticket Friday. Yeah, it's Free Ticket Friday, your chance to win tickets for club-level seats to see the Milwaukee Brewers take on Arizona next Thursday, August 28th. It's a day game, 1:10 p.m. So you need the Civic Media app on your phone. You need to be able to receive electronic tickets on your phone. You need to be able to use the tickets on your phone. If you've got that wonderful combination going for you, then go to that Civic Media app, call up one of the stations, use the text button, text us this keyword, BAT, B-A-T, B as in boy, B-A-T, like a baseball bat. You have until 9 o'clock to text us that keyword. Then throughout the day, there will be more chances to play, more keywords, more chances for you to enter, more chances to win. And at the end of the day, one entry statewide will be drawn at random to win those four tickets. It could be you going to see the Brewers next Thursday afternoon against Arizona. BAT, B-A-T, is the keyword for our free ticket Friday. Let's visit with our Week in Review panel, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Mark Jacob, and Jennifer Schulze joining us from Chicagoland as well. And panel, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah. Boy, I wasn't sure what we were going to do right out of the gate here. I hadn't really triaged this list. And because I've been over here yapping for the past 90 minutes on the radio, I did not realize, Mark, you told me first that, you know, John Bolton, President Trump's former national security advisor, who, like many of Trump's former advisors, has now become a critic of Trump, is only the latest one to now find himself in the box, as they like to say. What's happening to John Bolton this morning?
Well, his home in Maryland is being raided by the FBI. Supposedly, Kash Patel even personally there. And also, interestingly, also there is a reporter from the New York Post. So,
of course.
So it's, you know, we've read about, you know, on these immigration raids, they're bringing around camera crews and stuff like that. I mean, it's so much of this is done for publicity and to kind of create a chilling effect to get people to shut up and not criticize the government.
It's wondrous to me. It's curious. We can't say things like, you know, gerrymandering until years afterwards when people say, oh yeah, it was gerrymandering or racist or fascist. And Jennifer, you may or may not agree with me, but I'm at the point now, why can't people just acknowledge we have an administration that either has brought us to the brink of being a police state or has crossed that line or really, really wants to cross that line, but we are as close to a police state as we have ever been in this country.
Yes, I'll leave it to the lawyer in the group to tell us where he thinks we are officially, but I would say it certainly looks and feels like we have crossed a line that we've never crossed before. Just the DC takeover alone, but let's not forget the LA takeover and the using of the Justice Department, the FBI, like we are seeing this morning, to go after political enemies is the top of the list for authoritarians. That's what the bad guys do. That's what Vladimir Putin does. Just, you know, if you look at Trump and you can say he's doing the same thing that Putin's doing, you know we are in a bad place.
It just reminds me, Jim Santel, of where we were during Trump's late in the first term when there was talk about invoking the 25th Amendment, you know, because he was becoming so unbalanced. We're past that now because in his second term, he's got nothing but sycophants there with him who would never dream of invoking the 25th Amendment, which instead drags this country that much closer to, you know, coup territory, where somebody's finally going to be standing up to this police state and saying, we've come far enough. There has never been a crazier time to be in your position, Jim, of U.S. attorneys, former U.S. attorneys, others who look at this police state type of activity as is going on this morning at John Bolton's home and saying we need to rescue an independent judiciary more than ever if the FBI is now in bed with this kind of regime.
Absolutely. And so many questions coming out of not only what Mark, but Jennifer has also identified, including in order to go into John Bolton's home, assuming the reporting is accurate, and it almost certainly is, you got to have probable cause. Who is the judge who found some probable cause, presumably on classified documents? John Bolton hasn't been in government for years and years. What does that look like? Who is the prosecutor who presented that evidence? Is that there? This is not a consent search, plainly. Going out to Los Angeles, we had a federal district court judge who had to remind the prosecutors and the investigators there that you can't arrest somebody on the street absent reasonable suspicion to do so. There are so many indications right now that this is a lawless regime. We know that. And once again, proudly so, out there just running roughshod over the rules. All these things, again, confirm where we are.
With irony being so dead, and we keep digging up its carcass and killing it some more, Mark, because this is about allegedly John Bolton having classified documents. Tell the folks what you posted, the image you posted in response.
The first thing that made me think of was all those classified records piled up in Trump's Mar-a-Lago bathroom. I mean, give me a break. I mean, this classified information. Well, you know, if a judge, Aileen Cannon, hadn't been in the tank for Trump, that might have gotten to a trial where we would have, you know, understood completely what Trump did as far as stealing classified records. As it is now, there's plenty of evidence that it happened. So I'd like to see Kash Patel and the FBI kind of head over to the White House, but they're not going to do that.
No. And again, it reminds us of the maxim, justice delayed is justice denied. And justice was delayed far too much over the past 4 years. That gets us to this point. And then the other point that we'll have to talk about at some junction, not right now, but if hopefully things get back to normal, there'd better be accountability for this. None of this, live and let live. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next, then more of our discussion with our Week in Review panel. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Monday on the program, we're going to be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong from Madison. We're also going to be talking to John Shelton, who has written a letter along with State Senator Chris Larson about the pro-union qualities that the next Democratic nominee for governor needs to have. So again, John Shelton and Francesca Hong coming up Monday here on the program. And again, this is Free Ticket Friday. So if you'd like to be in the running for 4 Milwaukee Brewers tickets to see the Brewers take on Arizona at American Family Field next week, Thursday afternoon for the game, the word is BAT, B-A-T as in baseball bat. Send BAT to us through the Civic Media app. Text it to us. More keywords throughout the day. More chances for you to enter and win. One entry statewide will be drawn at the end of the day for winning those 4 Brewers tickets. Let's get back to Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob and Jim Santel. And we're going to get to Mark's column in just a sec about heroes of the resistance, because they include things like people in politics, but also in media, faith communities, things like that. Jennifer, you wrote something somewhat similar to this a couple of weeks back in, again, talking about how we need a country in peril needs journalists that it can count on. And we need that more than ever now. So simply from a journalist standpoint alone, can you tell me about, you know, reaction to the column? And I'm sure since you wrote it, you've seen more examples, I hope, of journalists that this country can count on.
Well, there are quite a few. And both Mark and I have talked and written about them a lot, and we both have lists of them, and I'm happy to share some more. I talked to one in particular, Will Bunch. He's the national columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. That is a rare big city newspaper in America, in that it's a not-for-profit, and they don't have corporate owners that are breathing down their necks and telling them what to write or what not to write. They don't have anybody in the newsroom making sure that the content is pro-Trump. But I talked to him because he's really out there calling it like it is. And I asked him what he's worried about as a journalist. You know, not just the capitulation, but what could be ahead. And he is concerned that Trump will turn his attention to some of these more fearless news outlets like his and Wired and the like, and come after them the way they're coming after people. For example, like looking at mortgage applications, just finding all kinds of ways to get into your personal life and make you feel under threat, like threatening and, you know, that they're going to look at your taxes and things like that.
Right. And there, Mark Jacob, where we get to the whole notion of your column, Heroes of the Resistance, that you can get at stopthepresses.news and through couriernewsroom.com. And tell us more about the column.
Yeah. I mean, it just struck me, you know, there's so much bad news today, you know, and, you know, the sending the military into Washington, D.C. based on, you know, lies about crime. And I mean, just one after another, you know, what Jennifer mentioned about using mortgage data to try to go after people. I mean, and just, you know, violating the privacy of people's data. They're just, I mean, there are a lot of bad news out there, Pat. And I just felt like I needed to write something that would say that there is a resistance, people are working hard, and those people need to be celebrated. One example I used was Alejandro Orellana, who is a immigration activist in Los Angeles. And when Trump sent the military in there, he was handing out face shields and bottled water to protesters, a completely nonviolent act. And his home was raided. You know, the FBI went in and broke down his door, smashed his window, detonated flash grenades. And they charged him with conspiracy to aid and abet civil disorders. Well, that charge got dropped because I think the government recognized that that would come across as harassment, because you know what? It was harassment. But he's, you know, stood up. There are a lot of people standing up, people going to protests, you know, and there are millions of people going to protests, and they need to keep on doing it. And, you know, there are politicians who are standing up. There are scholars who are standing up. There are people in media. There are moral leaders. You know, some people in business are standing up. I mean, not everyone is just folded on this DEI stuff. And in fact, you know, you see like Target, for example, it's gotten into business problems because it dumped DEI, and right. Costco is doing well because it didn't. Yeah. And so there are people standing up, and there are lawyers standing up too, even though some law firms have folded. So it's just, I just wanted to inspire people that they're not alone if they're fighting against this, the rise of fascism. There are a lot of people doing it, and we can win.
Yeah, we talked a bit about the how Target has suffered. We talked about on yesterday's program. Earlier, we spoke with Dr. Kristen Lyerly about the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists deciding to no longer accept federal funding if it's going to have these kinds of strings attached. But Jim Santel, from a legal standpoint, I think some folks would point toward the New York attorney Letitia James for going after, you know, Trump Inc. for being a bunch of fraudsters, but that case was dealt a big setback, it seems, yesterday. A massive penalty against Donald Trump for being a grifter was what? Was it wiped away?
It was not wiped away, and that's the important point. A lot of media, with due respect, is getting this wrong, doing the big headline, our president once again not helping, as he says, up. I'm exonerated. It's all done. What happened is it goes up to the Court of Appeals. The history, of course, is, as it always is, somewhat convoluted. And you've got a real, forgive me for the language here, it is a mess of a decision, because you've got various judges who are weighing in various parts of this, the upshot of which is he remains a civil fraud convict, if you will. That's a word that you usually use in the criminal setting. But the fraud application continues with him. No overturning of that finding at all. My president, in addition to being convicted felon in the criminal court, remains a person who's got a judgment of civil fraud against him. This has to do with the valuation of various properties. What was stripped away was the about $500 million judgment. And there you've got judges all across the board on this panel saying, well, I think it is too excessive. And candidly, an awful lot of us thought at the time, gosh, $500 million, even for Donald Trump, or especially for Donald Trump, that may sound a bit excessive. That's what was stripped away. Nothing about the underlying judgment, finding him responsible for this fraud, engaging in the behavior, which candidly, in terms of the history of this, is a more important piece of this, right? It affirms once again what this president has done throughout his life, which is commit fraud in statements to the government, in valuation of properties, every time he turns around. And the fact that the appeals court tells something to you about who our president really is.
Well, sure. And that he's all about the retribution. And I see Jennifer from the Independent in the UK that the Trump administration says it's going to review all 55 million people with U.S. visas for potential deportable violations. Now, there's a couple of different ways that news coverage can frame that. One is, again, just the investigating 55 million people who've had their visas approved and are doing good things here. But it seems there's also an angle there to be done on the resources. I mean, the price tag. You can do the price tag of the trade war. You can do the price tag of all these ICE raids that are out there. But the investigative work as well, we are seeing, you know, I guess I just come back to waste because it could be a grift. It could be whatever you want to call it. I feel like there's so much ample room to document the financial cost of this administration's moves.
Well, what's interesting to me about the 55 million is there's no way to understand how that could actually happen. And frankly, it doesn't matter. Trump's administration said it. It got all the headlines. That's all he needs. You know, the actual actions, while he does follow through with some things, most of what this guy does is say he's going to do something. His base goes, yeah, and Fox News goes, ah, and then it doesn't happen. I mean, look at yesterday. The New York Times even sent out a news alert. Donald Trump's going out on patrol tonight. And everyone went bananas. Headlines everywhere. Donald Trump's going out on patrol in D.C. He didn't. He went and bought pizza for troops instead. And nobody said, oops, nobody corrected it. It doesn't matter. Trump gets these headlines. Is it practical to look at 55 million people? Is it expensive? You bet. Will they actually do it? I really doubt it. Although they are looking at more and more phones coming across the border. I saw a story about that this week, that they've really stepped up that.
Don't you think that it's just kind of a message to the rest of the world to stay away from the United States?
Yes.
I mean, I view this.
And they
as,
are.
Yeah. I mean, and to a great cost to our tourism industry and to many other businesses. And it's like he wants to isolate us into a white ethno state, into this kind of weird isolationism that is just impossible to be. You can't be a player on the world stage if you're doing that. And he's hurting our country so badly right now.
Oh, we discussed yesterday, and I don't have the number in front of me, but the financial cost of the loss of foreign tourism, and also the fact that it's led to a weaker dollar, and yet we can't take advantage of that because of all the tariffs that are offsetting it. Time for one more here before we have to pause. Two members of the Fulton County, Georgia Board of Commissioners defied a court order and blocked the appointment of two election deniers to the County Board of Elections. A judge ordered the appointment to be done. These Democratic members have refused. Republicans have now called for these Board of Commissioner members to be jailed for standing up for democracy, Jim Santel, and refusing to appoint. And this is another one of those legal quandaries where you get paid the big bucks, not because I didn't go to law school, but these are people who are indeed defying a judge, but they're defying a judge because they know the ultimate price of putting these known, proven election deniers on a county board of elections.
I think the big takeaway from the story coming out of Georgia is the consequence of Donald Trump and his Justice Department and lawyers on behalf of the American population basically saying we can do whatever we want. We don't care about judges. We don't care about the rules. Everybody, once again, acting badly and the systems break down. This is being called malicious compliance. That is, you're engaging in, and it goes in both houses, right? A pox on both houses here. This is, you're deciding to do something that's probably against the law, probably appropriate in some areas, not in others. Everybody in this together. And the malice is abundant. The compliance is abundant in terms of trying to follow the rule of law. Our system has been turned upside down. You see it in the federal courts. You see it in the state courts. And it is the necessary result, the predictable result of a system that has gone awry. This is just a small microcosm there in Georgia.
Jennifer, let me get your take on California's Governor Gavin Newsom setting things in motion for reapportionment of congressional maps there, trying to offset what's done in Texas. You have a very real debate of those saying two wrongs don't make a right. We should rise above this. We should be better than this. And those who say, you know, you have to fight fire with fire. You can't bring a knife to a gunfight, etc. What's your short version of, you know, how that debate appears to you?
Well, I think the debate is a little bit flawed in that it doesn't include all of the information most of the time. For example, it is extremely unusual to do a reapportionment gerrymander 2 years after you just did one. And Republicans are doing something untoward to keep Donald Trump in power. And every time there's a conversation about that that doesn't include that, I think we're not telling the whole story. Yes, I think California should absolutely do it. I hope Illinois does it. Because if we don't, Donald Trump will never leave. And this is, we are stuck with this.
We need all of that perspective in there. From our Week in Review panel, again, our keyword for Free Ticket Friday for Brewers tickets is BAT, B-A-T. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Remember, you can follow Up North News all across social media. We are now on Blue Sky as well, in case you're looking for an alternative to the dumpster fire formerly known as Twitter. And of course, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Sign up for our newsletter there as well. And again, the keyword for now until 9 a.m. in the Free Ticket Friday is BAT, B-A-T, like baseball bat. I've seen bag come over. I've seen bay come over. So you might want to go back and check your spelling. Bat, like a baseball bat, is the keyword on this Free Ticket Friday for Brewers tickets to see the game against Arizona next Thursday to be in the drawing there. All right, one more time with Jim Santel and Mark Jacob and Jennifer Scholze joining us here. And we left off talking about the California map situation, which of course is a reflection of what happened in Texas with Republicans gerrymandering there at President Trump's order. Democrats fled the state for a bit. They've now returned home, and the new corrupt maps are that much closer to being passed. Mark, in the end, is that some kind of a loss for the Democrats who left, that they couldn't pressure Republicans enough to see the error of their ways? Or was it a tactical victory because it put a spotlight on it?
I think the second. I think it was, I mean, they were always going to lose. They just didn't have the votes. But it certainly did put a spotlight on it, and it inspired other people, including Gavin Newsom in California. I mean, Pat, I mean, people are desperate today for fighters. They have no tolerance for people who are folding to this intimidation. They want people who are going to fight, and these Texas Democrats did. And, I mean, this is just a long history in Texas of this, of, and you know what you're going to get if the way this remapping goes is fewer people of color in Congress from Texas, and you know I went back and looked, did some research yesterday, and they had a whites only primary in Texas until a Supreme Court ruling in 1944. I mean, there's a long history of trying to cheat people of color out of their votes in Texas. And what we need is, for this remap stuff, we need a national solution. We need every state to go by the same general rules about how they do their maps. And it needs to be, you know, independent. It needs to be fair. It doesn't need to be this kind of, you know, in Illinois, where, you know, there's the opposite kind of gerrymandering. It's for the blue instead of the red. And I don't like it, but you just can't just unilaterally surrender.
Yeah. And, you know, Jennifer, you mentioned before the break about, again, making sure you put it all into perspective. But to Mark's point about people are looking for fighters, and I know we're going to talk a lot about this next Monday. We've got some guests focused on this. This whole notion of what is a fighter, and what is it that Democrats are looking for? And again, I don't have an easy answer for this, but are we just because somebody becomes the loudest person in the room, or in Gavin Newsom's case, he mocks Trump by putting tweets out in all capital letters, which is really effective. But, you know, we're not talking about the policy at all. Do we run the risk of giving people more of a pedestal simply because they're louder, they're more vociferous in how they stand up to Donald Trump? Or is that, in fact, you know, the right approach, because those people who are loudest are the ones that are inspiring more Americans?
I think at this point, it's a fight fire with fire. And I think Gavin Newsom is so effective because he's playing at the same volume as Trump. You know, Trump isn't talking about policy. You can't, you know, fight a bully. He's bullying about all kinds of things. And, you know, let's talk about housing policy. It doesn't work that way. But Newsom is doing such a great job. He's getting under the skin of Trump and the Republicans, but he's also getting under the skin of Fox. They are out of their minds about him doing this. And, you know, I don't know if this would have worked necessarily 6 months ago, but now, what, like, Mark's correct. People are crying out for people to loudly stand up to Trump and what he's doing, and Gavin Newsom's doing that.
And so that's the part that we can mention in day-to-day media. But Jim Santel, you were saying that in relation to Mark Jacobs' newsletter on the heroes of the resistance, there are three important heroes who cannot do that. They cannot get in front of cameras and speak loudly. They cannot engage in quite the discourse. But those three members, those three justices on the U.S. Supreme Court are, in your book, heroes as much as anybody speaking more loudly.
They absolutely are, not only in response to some of the substantive decisions of just this past term, including this issue related to the CASA case and other things out there having to do with national injunctions, but also on the shadow docket, the emergency appeals. This administration has taken 20 of them and been successful in all these areas. And three of them, Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson, writing, even when the majority does not tell us the reason for their permitting Donald Trump to do all of these illegal things he's doing, they issue 15 and 20 page dissents. They are the voices of the Supreme Court right now that people should take a look at. That's right. They're not appearing in front of microphones on First Street there in Washington, D.C., but they are writing about this. And it is for history. And one never knows at some point down the road if their minority opinions may in fact become majority at some point. They're to be regarded as heroes these days, as are an awful lot of federal judges, district court judges, who are pushing back again, almost unanimously, saying, no, Donald Trump, you can't do this, getting some reversals at the courts of appeals. But they're also, I talked before about, again, this malicious compliance. They're doing what they need to do pursuant to their oaths of office. It is ugly. It is not what we expect from federal judges and from the judiciary generally. The volume and the rancor is complete, but it is significant, and people should take note of all that.
And we didn't have time this segment. We talked about earlier the Walworth County Court Commissioner who was forced to resign over insisting on due process. I'm quite certain Jim will be talking about that on Amicus, a law review tomorrow morning between 9 and 11 on Civic Media stations. And of course, you can get the column from Jennifer Schulze, Indistinct Chatter, on Substack. And Mark Jacob, head over to stopthepresses.news for his newsletter there. Great to see all three of you as always. Hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Right. We will have, we'll talk to Mike Clements from Packer Training Camp and much more coming up after the news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.